In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many churches keep their patronal festival, that is the feast day of the saint to which the church is dedicated. And as I was saying, the feast of St. Ursula was last Wednesday, 21st of October. And so our pledge Sunday is always the Sunday nearest our patronal festival, which is all very fitting, since our annual pledge is for the work of our church here in this place. The story of Ursula is the stuff of legend, a 4th century British princess who had founded an abbey and gone on a pilgrimage to Rome. On the way back, she and her companions boarded a ship on the Rhine at Basel, and they got as far as Cologne, where they were martyred. The event is actually recorded on a stone inscription, which you can still see in Cologne, and it dates to around about the year 400, so in other words, more or less the same time as Ursula and her martyrdom. And in fact, there are quite a lot of monuments and dedications to Ursula, especially here in Switzerland. But the name was chosen, as many of you will know, for this church, to remember a generous donation by an American lady in thanksgiving for the recovery of her daughter, Ursula, in a clinic here in Bern. So now we have the theme of giving to and for the church as an act of thanksgiving to God. And you've heard sermons on that before. So let's think this morning about why we give to the church in particular as a way of giving our thanks to God. There are some people who say that they are willing to give generously even to God, but they don't see giving to the church in that way. But I would argue Jesus founded the church to do God's work on earth. We all know the children's song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. Well, I'm fine with the first two lines, but I have problems with the last one. St. John of the Cross, a Spanish mystic of the 16th century, wrote, "The virtuous soul that is alone is like the burning coal that is alone. It will grow colder rather than hotter." And Philip Yancey, a leading American Christian writer of today, wrote in rather similar words. He said, "Whenever I abandon church for a while, I find that I am the one who suffers. My faith fades. I grow colder rather than hotter." And all this is because we are Christians by virtue of being part of the body of Christ, not because we read the Bible or pray on our own. That was why it's important, I think, to introduce those young people to you and you to them this morning, to help them to grow in the body of Christ as they prepare to receive the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verse 31, in that story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch asks Philip, "How can I understand what I am reading unless someone guides me?" And the fact that he is a eunuch, infertile, is perhaps symbolic, rather like those coals growing colder. You see, without authoritative apostolic teaching and guidance, our Bible reading and our prayer life will not grow. In fact, even worse, they may lead us astray from the faith altogether, like the lost sheep of Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. And Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 describes the crowds following Jesus as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. or if you like, in the wrong sort of house group, where people meet to share their ignorance, like the Christians at Corinth, who needed Paul to sort them out. That passage in Matthew 9 continues, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In a nutshell, that is the reason for our annual pledge appeal. The Lord is sending out laborers and shepherds to teach, to guide, and to hold the body together. I was at the Bishop's Council in London last week, and part of our strategy is to increase the number of ordained and authorized ministers. But to do that properly, and for them to do their job properly, they need the tools, the infrastructure, and all that costs money. The church has its faults, obviously, and maybe that's why some people think they can give to God without giving to the church. Yes, the church has its faults, and I don't need to tell you that. If the church is truly inclusive, then it is bound to have sinners as well as saints amongst its members, and sometimes in the same person. But when we look at the general direction of travel throughout the centuries, we can see that through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is the saints who have prevailed, and that the church exists because we need it to carry us in our pilgrimage to the heavenly city. Amen.